Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
So yesterday, a whole bunch of reporters and writers and hacks decided to finally walk back their claims that President Trump called all immigrants animals when it was crystal clear that he was referring to MS-13 gang members. Which weirdly, now some anti-Trump folks, they're now defending MS-13 members. It is so weird. He was specifically asked, the president specifically asked about criminal gang members, MS-13. This was how he responded.
We have people coming into the country, or trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals.
Now, on Twitter, C-SPAN, who was streaming the entire event, this is what they said on Twitter. President Trump during California Sanctuary Cities Roundtable, quote, "These aren't people, these are animals." How shameful are these people? The New York Times, ABC News, NBC, CBS, CNN, The Hill, NPR, Huffington Post, all posted on their Twitter feeds and on their stories that the president was going after specifically just immigrants, when that's not what he was doing at all. Nancy Pelosi then responds to the comments during her weekly press conference.
We believe that some of us who are attracted to the political arena, to government and public service, we're all God's children.
Oh, okay.
There's a spark of divinity in every person on earth.
Democratic Party, who stands away from religion on a regular basis. Nancy Pelosi is not a particularly religious person, but now she is.
And that we all have to recognize that as we respect the dignity and worth of every person.
I don't respect the dignity and worth of every person. I don't respect the dignity of MS-13. I don't respect the dignity of white supremacists. I don't respect the dignity and worth of murderers, of Nazis, of bigots. I don't respect the dignity and worth of those folks. Now, if you do, okay, cool, I guess. If that's what the Democratic Party now stands for, that you now stand on the side of murderers and bigots. Okay. See that rapist over there who raped a 12-year-old girl? Let's give him the dignity and respect he deserves. That's your line? That's Nancy Pelosi's position? That's the Democratic Party's position?
Every day that you think you've seen it all, along comes another manifestation of why their policies are so inhumane and why we have to continue the debate, striving for bipartisanship with openness about what is at stake and what the choices are, and to be unifying in every way possible. Calling people animals is not a good thing.
What would you call MS-13? I'm just kind of curious, because we know what they've done. We know they cut people's hearts out while they're still alive. We know that they decapitate people. We know that they lure four men into an alleyway with two attractive women before they then take machetes and hack them to death. How would you respond to them? Show me the dignity that you would like to foist upon these losers. Anna Navarro, who claims to be a Republican, who I don't think has said anything pro-Republican in maybe over two decades. She was on CNN and said this kind of language against MS-13, it dehumanizes people.
I am saying that the president of the United States has got to measure his words and be more careful about what he says. And it is a very slippery slope when you start dehumanizing people this way. It's what the Nazis did. It's what slave owners did. It's not what Americans do.
Okay, well, fair enough. Then Anna Navarro is a Nazi, a slave owner, and an American. Because on October 9th, 2016, at 5:20 p.m., she sent out the following tweet, which I'm looking at right now. Should Donald Trump drop out of the race? Yes, he should drop out of the human race. He is an animal. Apologies to animal. So it sounds like you are so anti-Trump that you are willing to side with MS-13. What the hell is wrong with you people? That's how unhinged you've become. CNN's Jim Acosta had the audacity to ask President Trump to clarify what he meant. What he said does not need any clarification. We know what he was talking about. He was asked specifically about MS-13 gang members.
Well, it has nothing to do with this meeting, but I'm referring, and you know I'm referring, to the MS-13 gangs that are coming in. And I was talking about the MS-13, and also, and if you look a little bit further on in the tape, you'll see that. So I'm actually surprised you're asking this question, because most people got it right. But I'm saying the MS-13, you don't have that where you come from. MS-13, these are animals. They're coming into our country. We're getting them out. They come in again. We're getting them out. We need strong immigration laws. We have the weakest laws in the entire world.
And he goes on. I don't need to play the whole thing. I don't need to give you the context because you already know it. People wonder why Trump does so well with voters, why people are sticking with him still, because they can't quite understand it. They sanctimoniously question, why would anyone stand with President Trump? It's because of stuff like this. It's because of stunts like this. He wins the media war because of unhinged reporters lying, purposefully or not, lying about his statements. And you can get away with that to a degree because most people won't do the background check. Most people won't look for the context. But there are also instances like this where it turns out you can't really hide your lies and it backfires and he wins. Trump is winning this war with the media because he's on the right side of it. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Foodie edition.
So we know restaurants have that little emoji health grading system in King County where it gives you like a little smiley emoji if they otherwise are perfect. If things are not so perfect and they need to close down, you get the little poop emoji, right? Do they do the poop emoji?
No poop emojis.
But what if it causes intestinal?
I think the worst one you can get is an okay rating. That's just like
The whole thing is a scam to begin with, and it's graded on a curve, which makes no sense when we're talking about the health of individuals. But at least we can understand it, and we know that it applies to actual physical brick-and-mortar restaurants. But apparently there's a loophole of some kind, because food trucks don't have these little stamps or signs on their trucks, even your favorite ones like Saffron Spice.
It's absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
I think last week I got it like 3 days in a row. Yeah.
I love that guy.
Thanks, Mr. Construction Worker, talking to Cairo 7. Gary Horker was out there asking people how they knew if the trucks they were eating at were actually clean and up to code.
How do you know if a food truck is clean or not?
You don't know.
I'm not really sure. I trust the people and the cleanliness of based on what I can see.
Trust the people. They're strangers that are just driving around in a truck. I don't know why.
Well, and you can't even see into their trucks. You see the tops of their heads as they're looking down on you from the little window of the truck. You can't see into the restaurant.
Yeah.
This is awful. That dude is crazy.
It's the one experience as an adult that you still feel like a child because they're like above you and they're handing you food.
So I was wondering why aren't there... I kind of assumed everyone just knew that going to a food truck is just... You're taking a risk. I don't expect it's going to be as clean as a restaurant. I mean, they used to be called roach coaches, right? I mean,
I didn't know that.
That was like a slang term, at least in Los Angeles. That's what we would refer to them. We would go, and we would knowingly go there. We'd say, oh, yeah, that place can't be clean, but it tastes really, really good. So we go there anyway. That's what I assumed. But it turns out my assumption was incorrect. They have the rules that they have to follow. And apparently the county is working on a program for food trucks. They say working on it. What? They already have the... Just print the little emoji and give it to them.
Find and replace restaurant with food truck.
I don't understand.
Print out that document.
They've got laws. They say that the laws are already out there. They do inspections. Every food truck, according to Cairo 7, must have a separate commissary where raw food and meat is marinated and pre-cooked, which are also inspected and graded by Seattle King County health inspectors. So when they're there, just give them the little emoji to put on the side of the truck. I don't understand this. They're working on it. Moises Santos runs a popular lunch spot called El Costeño. He says cleanliness is a priority for him.
The most important thing, number one, first thing we do is get in, set up our bleach water, make sure that's ready for the
bleach
day.
Water.
Then we start.
So that's how you know your food is safe. They put it in bleach water beforehand.
No.
It used to be dirty. Here we put it in bleach water. Now it's clean. Now, what do you mean no?
They're not putting the food in the bleach water.
What do they do with the bleach water?
They clean stuff.
Food.
No, they clean the counters. In the utensils.
I love that the food safety program manager is all like, here's one rule. If they're giving you the food in their bare hands, don't eat it. That's great advice. Thank you.
It's a little life hack.
They handed me a slice of pizza. Oh, God. These people Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM in the Greater East Side. It is Friday. You know what that means? I get to talk movies. The big weekend release, which should knock down Avengers, is another superhero movie, Deadpool 2. It stars Ryan Reynolds as the foul-mouthed superhero who this time aims to protect a teenage superhero from a man traveling from the future trying to kill him.
I'm here for the kid.
What? The kid? I ain't letting Cable kill this kid. We're gonna form a super duper group. We need them tough, morally flexible, and young enough to carry their own franchise for 10 to 12 years.
We will be known as X-Force.
Isn't that a little derivative?
Don't call it a comeback!
So, I wasn't necessarily sure if we needed a sequel to Deadpool. I liked the first one, and I thought it was fresh, mostly because you don't normally have a character who's a superhero who's R-rated. We generally don't get those types of movies, and so I thought at the time was, this is good. It's not great. It was good, and I liked it because it was just a little bit different. So I thought to myself, okay, do we need another Deadpool? Is the world pining for another one? And frankly, do we need another superhero movie so close to the Avengers? Because that was earth-shattering for the Marvel Universe where Deadpool lives. But I'll say this, after seeing the movie, I'm 100% glad they made it. Deadpool 2 is really, really good. It still feels as fresh as the first one did. And the jokes don't get all that tiring. Ryan Reynolds, I think, plays the role perfectly. He's vulgar, he's violent, he's a smartass. It's the perfect personality to fit the character, the actor of Ryan Reynolds. It just seems like a really good match. And for those of us familiar with the Marvel Universe, particularly X-Men, there are not just a ton of cameos, but a lot of callbacks and references to some of the Marvel movies. At one point, he ends up turning to Josh Brolin, who in this plays Cable, the guy who was coming to us from the future, and he jokingly refers to him as Thanos, since that's the character Brolin plays in the Avengers. I think the two of them play off each other really, really well.
My name's Cable. I'm from the future. Just walk away.
Oh, so you're from the future. I have three questions then. One, is dubstep still a thing? Two, which Sharknado are we on? And three, at what point do audiences say, enough with the robotic arms?
Dubstep's
so dark!
Are you sure you're not from the DC universe?
So the movie is really, really fun. It's very subversive. It is a hard R, so this is not necessarily appropriate for kids under the age of 13, I would say. But I do think it's a nice change of pace, again, from some of the more family-friendly superhero films that we end up getting, or some of the superhero films that, yeah, they're a little bit dark, but it does seem a little weird that no one seems to cuss and you never see any blood or death. That's not a problem with this movie. They have a lot of that. Lots of the characters from the first film make appearances in this one, but for the most part, it's a separate movie. They don't pick up too much from where they left off at the end of Deadpool. Deadpool 2 earns that R rating. It's out now, and I do recommend it. I really, really enjoyed it. Another film that's out is actually the polar opposite of Deadpool. It's released this weekend. It's a documentary, and it's called Pope Francis, A Man of His Word. It's an up-close and very intimate look at the Pope's ideological beliefs and basically how he manages the politics behind some of the subjects that he cares about, like global warming, like poverty, to push the gospel and enact some meaningful change in the world. The film feels political. They highlight the Pope's social justice causes. They highlight the Pope's environmentalist beliefs. And it does so without questioning any of it. They just sort of present what he believes, and they do so via a series of interviews that they were able to do with the Pope, interactions that they were able to film with the people he meets all over the globe, and they explain why he believes what it is he believes and why it's so important. But it does at times feel like a propaganda film, because they don't really question any of the positions that the Pope takes. They certainly don't talk to anyone who is taking issue with any of the policy prescriptions he ends up implying support for. And I do think that that's what was missing in this movie. And I do think that it was necessary. Ultimately, though, I do recommend Pope Francis, A Man of His Word, because it is an intimate setting that we don't normally see the Pope engaged in. you see how charming he is, how wise he is. And I think it's heartening to see how he acts like such a normal person when he holds such an important role. So Pope Francis, A Man of His Word, it's out now. It's a documentary. It's not very long. It's very accessible of a film. And ultimately, I do think it's worth seeing, particularly if you want to get a little bit of a better sense as to who the Pope is and why he believes what he believes. It's certainly not a perfect movie. They do some flashback scenes of St. Francis. Doesn't quite work for me. But all the time that you spend with the Pope, I think, is really, really interesting and something we haven't really seen before. So Pope Francis, A Man of His Word, out now. I also recommend that. But if you're looking for something a little bit more entertaining, probably go with Deadpool 2. Tell me what you would like to see this weekend. Are you excited about Deadpool 2? Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. It's the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline. Tell me if you're excited for Deadpool or if you are sick and tired of superhero films. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rantz Show on AM 770, KTTH, and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. My next guest story is a bit too insane to be true. Greg Winters was driving through Arlington. He ends up hitting a deer. It flies through the sky. It lands in his back seat of the car alive and starts kicking him in the head. I suspect something more sinister is at play here. So we invited him on the show. You hear him laughing in the background to explain what happened. We will see if I can catch him in a lie. Greg joins me now. Greg, good morning. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
So what happened? Take us through that night.
Okay. It was about 9 o'clock. I was driving from Arlington out to Darrington. I just passed past Oso, past the slides, and I was just going 50, 55, and I went around the corner, and basically from a tree line, there was nothing in front of me, and then all of a sudden, big deer. Like, normally we see them grazing on the side of the road or whatever, but nothing like that. Just jumped right out of the wood line, and I hit it, like, probably 50, maybe 50. I was slamming on the brakes. I hit it, like, maybe 50 miles an hour. Airbags deployed, front crunched all up, and the deer went flying, like, straight up in the air. And I thought, okay, which is, you know, I didn't want it to, like, come in through the front window or roll up the hood or anything like that. So I'm like, okay, great, it's going to land, you know, somewhere else. So I'm still skidding, right? And all of a sudden, the back window smashes, and I hear it smash, and I think, oh, well, that's maybe just the impact because it was quite intense. And so I'm still trying to pull over to the side of the road, and I look over to the I've got bucket seats. It's a Honda Civic, and I look over, and I see a hoof, like, sticking through the seat. And okay. And so I turn around, and the deer's head was on the passenger side of the back seat, you know, kind of folded because it was too big for the back seat, and looking right at me, just totally freaked out. And I was I look back, and there's a deer staring at me, and I went ahead and I tried to pull off the road, and it started kicking and thrashing to get out of the car. And it started kicking. It was kicking me in the back of the head. And so I pulled off the side of the road, and I got out, and I didn't know, you know, I couldn't really let it out. It didn't fit. Like, if I just opened the door, and like, it's a two door. So I couldn't really let it out. And so I just sort of stopped and called the police, and
they showed up. They ended up taking photos of what happened.
Well, no, the deer died before they got there.
Yeah.
I did take some pictures because I, you know, just for insurance, it was getting dark outside. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get pictures before it was too dark because this is, like, you know, kind of rural. So I got a couple pictures, and then some off-duty fire department personnel from Darrington were on their way back from Arlington from something, and they stopped because it looked like they said that my back window was shot out. You know, there was, like, nothing left in the back window, just glass and everything. And so they stopped, and they came over, and they just couldn't believe it. I mean, they were trying not to laugh because I was kind of shaken, but you just had to laugh. And they started taking pictures and calling friends, and the highway patrolman got there about 45 minutes after the accident. And he said he thought it was kind of a joke or a mistake when it came over the radio. He took pictures, actually, and called in, and his supervisor wanted to come see it. Yeah, so the deer had passed away by then, had died, but there was no visible injury on the deer. So it's probably internal or shock or whatever. Mm-hmm. And but it was interesting because there was no damage to the hood or to the roof of the car and no damage to the trunk, which means it literally came straight down through the back windshield, which is kind of at an angle on a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
Came back to the back windshield and landed literally perfectly on the back seat. Like, it looked like it was just lounging.
Well, that's the part that I can't quite figure out, because if you're driving about 50 miles per hour, 55,
yeah,
you presumably, there's a moment where you hit the brake so you don't hit the deer, but obviously at that point it's futile. If you're going that fast and the angle of the car hits the deer, presumably you're still going straight because you can't just stop at the moment.
Right.
The deer then goes up into the air and then behind you. I don't understand how it can go up in the air while you're still driving forward and then have it land in the backseat of your car, because your car is so tiny.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question.
Greg, I think you're lying. I think you're hiding something. I'm going to be totally honest.
If I didn't have... I sent mail to my employer mm-hmm. that night, and the title of my email was, "You can't make this up." And I included photos because I figured who was going to think that this was real, you know? And the weird thing, the only thing I could think of is he said the highway patrolman said if I was braking, that the front of the car would have dipped down
mm-hmm.
and probably hit the deer. I mean, I'll show you a picture of the front of the car. It's just demolished. Probably hit the deer, and the deer probably went not just straight up, but straight up and back a little, back away from me a little bit. And then I stopped really soon thereafter, but I was slamming on the brakes or whatever. Yeah. And it just came down perfectly in the back seat.
Just joining me, I'm talking with Greg Winters, driving through Arlington, ends up hitting a deer. It goes through the air, lands in the back seat of his car. The car itself is totaled, right?
Yeah, it's a total loss. Yeah.
Did the deer have insurance?
It's funny because actually the highway patrolman came later with the exchange of information report. And I said, did you get the deer's, driver's number and the... and actually it was funny because I saw that he wrote, I don't know if he wrote it on the report or if he just wrote it on the sheet of paper, that the deer looked like it died resting comfortably or peacefully.
Jeez.
Like, cause it literally is just lounging in the back seat. Yeah. So they actually, pulled the deer out and then there was a little competition on the phone, for people from Darrington and stuff to come out and harvest the deer. I guess I don't know how that works, but, I think that's gross.
Well, I've got two working theories in what really happened, because I don't buy your story at all. I think it's a cover-up. And I acknowledge one of my theories is maybe a little out there, but you never know. One, you're a deer serial killer, and you just got caught, and this is bad luck. But number two, this is what I really think happened. You're driving, you're speeding maybe, you get into an accident, and there just happened to be a deer nearby, and you decide to blame it on the deer so that your insurance can cover the actual accident. You can be honest and tell us. Just come forward, tell us the truth.
Well, to be honest, I have full coverage. It would be covered anyway. I can't be without a car right now. So
yeah.
I would not have wanted to make that story happen.
How did the insurance company react?
Apparently it's not treated as like a regular collision accident. It's treated as a comprehensive, unavoidable mm-hmm. thing or whatever. So they were fine. However, my insurance agent sent me a mail. I have it. It actually said, I sent it. He's like, I can't believe this. I sent it to my kids and the news story that was on the TV. Like, I can't believe it.
That is insane.
Yeah.
So how do you feel right now? Obviously, the poor deer ends up dying. In the backstory I gave on the show the other day was that you just orphaned like three adorable little deer.
Well, I'm from the Midwest and grew up on a farm, so I don't have necessarily the animals or family members type thing. But I'm also not a hunter.
Yeah.
I do love animals. And I actually didn't feel too bad. I was more upset about my car and upset about, and we see deer everywhere out here this time of year. But normally I see them on the side of the road and I can see them ahead of time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, when they pulled the deer out, one of the guys that was there from the fire department and the highway patrolman sort of concurred that the doe was nursing, and a mom. You could tell by like the udder, or whatever they call it on deer. And then I started to feel, like, oh man, there's some fawn somewhere, or I don't know.
Well, now I feel bad because I made that up about thinking that the doe had a bunch of babies. I made that up, but now it turns out to be true.
Yeah, they really said that.
Well, I'm sorry you had to.
I did feel a little bad.
I'm sorry you had to experience this. It's good that you're safe. Obviously, it's not good for the deer nor your car, but for you, it's safe. What do you do, Greg?
I work for I test computer software for Amazon.
Okay, and what were you doing in Darrington?
I actually have a cabin and some property in Marble Mount, and I was heading from Arlington up to that property.
Got it.
On Sunday night.
And this all just changed that trip, I assume.
Yes, it did, actually. I had to get it towed back to Everett and,
Well,
late at night. I didn't.
We're certainly glad you're okay. That's the plus in all of this. I still suspect probably now a combination of you being a sociopath who's got a thing out for deers and a suspicious accident. I'm labeling this under suspicious incident in Darrington, but you have been cleared of any wrongdoing by the Darrington PD, correct?
Yes, I certainly have.
Good.
And I'll send you photos and video. To be honest, I would find it hard to believe myself if it didn't happen to me.
Well, once we get the video and images, we're going to post it online at ktth.com if you want to check it out. Just check out my blog. We'll have the story up there. Again, I've been talking with Greg Winters. He had an unbelievable experience between his car and a deer, and now we are one less deer and one less car congested in the state of Washington as a result of that Sunday night drive. Greg Winters, I appreciate you stopping by this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. We have some breaking news that is unfolding right now in Santa Fe, Texas, where at least 8 people have died as a result of a school shooting. Again, this is happening in Santa Fe, Texas. You heard a little bit of an update at the top of this last hour from Fox News. We're now getting some more details about this particular shooting. There aren't too many details yet, but they're starting to come in. Not everything has been 100% confirmed, but I'll give you the details as reported by a variety of different local and national media outlets. The shooting happened earlier this morning around 8 a.m. their time. It is believed a student was responsible for the shooting. He went into a art class. He apparently had a shotgun, so he didn't have an AR-15, nor did he have a handgun, at least according to these early reports. He used a shotgun there. We don't know exactly why. We do know that he has been arrested. He is alive. So it makes it a little bit easier to discover what the motive was. But we know that 8 people have died. We don't know how many of them are students or how many of them are administrators. Here's a student talking to CBS News describing the experience.
I told her, Mom, there are gunshots. I heard 4 shots. And it was kind of, it was real.
And obviously it was chaotic for the students. Apparently, at least 1 or 2 students saw or heard the shooting. They immediately pulled the fire alarm to alert the school that something was wrong. And you had students trying to find a place to hide so they wouldn't become a victim.
I heard really loud booms and I didn't know what they were at first. And then I realized what they were when I heard screaming. And I got up and I ran and we went onto the stage and we hid backstage.
12 students and or faculty have been injured. At least that's the early report. 8 dead, 12 injured. One of the kids who was shot was a friend of Brianna Quintanilla.
The alarm started going off. Everybody went outside. And all the teachers are like, get this way, get this way. Come over here, come over here. Next thing you know, we hear the booms. And everybody just starts running. Everybody yelling, run, go, as fast as you can.
Now, just moments ago at a separate event he was speaking at, the president spoke about the shooting that happened this morning.
Unfortunately, I have to begin by expressing our sadness and heartbreak over the deadly shooting at Santa Fe High School in Texas just took place moments ago. We're closely monitoring the situation, and federal authorities are coordinating with local officials. This has been going on too long in our country. Too many years, too many decades now. We grieve for the terrible loss of life and send our support and love to everyone affected by this absolutely horrific attack. To the students, families, teachers, and personnel at Santa Fe High, we're with you in this tragic hour, and we will be with you forever. My administration is determined to do everything in our power to protect our students, secure our schools, and to keep weapons out of the hands of those who pose a threat to themselves and to others.
We don't yet know how the student got possession of this gun. We're now just hearing that a second person has also been detained, according to the Harris County Sheriff, Ed Gonzalez. Again, we don't know if that was another shooter. We don't know if that person was helping. We don't know if that was a detainment in error. So it's a little bit too early. But now they're also increasing the amount of potential dead to 10. So now they're saying 8 to 10, according to the sheriff. People have been killed at this Texas school shooting. They are now saying most of them were students. When we're told the shooter went in specifically to the art room, an art class. We don't know if that was by happenstance, if that's just where he happened to be at the time that he wanted to commit this act, or whether he was targeting someone in the art class. So we'll have an update at the top of the hour and, of course, throughout the day.